The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week, the Parashas are Nitzavim Vayelech. In Nitzavim we have, in Posuk, in Perek Chof Tes, Posuk Chof Ches, an Historis LaShem Elokeinu, Vanigla Islonu Levaneinu Ad Olam. Last this is called Divrei HaTorah Hazos. What is concealed, that belongs to Hashem. What is revealed, that belongs to us and to our children forever, to fulfill this entire Torah. What does this mean? What is concealed belongs to Hashem, and what is revealed belongs to us and to our children. Rashi explains that Klal Yisrael is obligated not only to fulfill their own mitzvahs, each individual, but also to act as a guardian, to see that everyone else from Yisrael fulfills mitzvahs. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded from them. And this is why we have a court system. On that, Klal Yisrael said, but are you going to be manish hasarabim al averes hayochid? If an individual does something wrong, so the rest of the people will have to carry responsibility for it. How will they know? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, when Moshe is saying from Hashem, an historis l'Hashem elokeinu, when someone commits an avera, which is concealed, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of. That's his responsibility. You're not responsible. But aniglais, but those avedas that you see in front of you that are being committed, lonu ulvaneinu ad olam, those will be the responsibility, your responsibility. So Moshe says these are our responsibilities, to see that no avedas are committed. And this is the purpose, Rashi explains, that in the previous parsha Kisovei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that when you cross the Yarden, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, when you cross the Jordan River, there you will come to two mountains, Har Ebal and Har Gerizim, with a valley in between. And you will send some of the half of the Shvatim up to Har Ebal and half of the Shvatim up to Har Gerizim, and the Levim with the Oren will be in the valley. And there we will say, Oror ha'ish, cursed is the person that does such and such an avera, and everybody will answer amen. And on the other hand, we will say, Baruch ha'ish, blessed is the one that will not do such an avera. Now, what was the purpose of that? These averas are not at all the averas, Thai averas of the Torah. Represents just a very, very small portion. So the purpose of that was, is there we're speaking about averas which are normally done by Seser, completely concealed, and it's almost impossible for anybody else to know about them. So there HaKadosh Baruch Hu was relieving Klal Yisrael from averas, from transgressions that others did by Seser, concealed. You are no longer responsible for those. But on the niglos, those that are revealed, that you are responsible for. So this is what Rashi explains here in Parshas Nitzavim. What do we see from all of this? We see what a klal, a principle, that the sages refer to as Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelezeh. That every Jew is responsible, is a guarantor for the behavior of his fellow Jew. That means that an individual Jew does not live in his own world. And he cannot say, Shalom alai nafshi. The main thing is that I take care of myself. Or I take care of myself, my wife, my children, my household. As far as the rest of the Jews, that's not my asik. The main thing is I should fulfill mitzvahs. I should educate my children. I should be a fruma yid. If others also want to be fruma Jews, fine. But if they don't want to, what can I do? It's not my asik, it's not my business, it's not my problems. This is a totally false conception. And the source of that is here. It's the obligation of every Jew to see that not only he fulfills mitzvahs, or his household fulfills mitzvahs, but all other Jews also. And he must do everything in his power to see this, to this. And this is something which is not only placed on the shoulders, like many think, of the manhigi ador, the leaders of the generation. They have to look out for the generation. Or the rabbonim, they're responsible for the community. Or the Rosh Yeshivas, they're responsible. Now, this responsibility rests on every individual. And it's not a Midas Hasidus. Many people look at this as a Midas Hasidus, and he was such a good Jew, and not only did he keep his own family, Shemir Torah and Mitzvahs, but even influenced others. It's not Midas Hasidus. The simple proof of this is because one of the greatest ways in which one can fulfill this is through the mitzvah of Techocha, of rebuke. And this is a mitzvah's essay which is written in Parshas Kedoshim, Hecheach Techiach Es Amisecho, that you are obligated to rebuke your fellow man when you see he's doing something wrong. Now this is a mitzvah that was not given merely to the Rabbonim or the Manhigi Ador, to the leaders of the generation. This is from the Taryag Mitzvah, that every Jew is obligated in where he can fulfill this mitzvah. So therefore, it's a myth to think that there is no such mitzvah, or that this mitzvah is just for the selected few, or this is something going beyond the letter of the law. Now, we know, and we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks, that there's a very, very great mitzvah of chesed with tzedakah. And that's also similar to what we're speaking about. Why are we obligated in chesed and tzedakah to do acts of kindness and acts of tzedakah, charity to others? That's also because the Jew is obligated not only to take care of himself and his own family, but to take care of Klal Yisrael. Actually, the morale brings, and this is explicit in the Rambam also, that he brings that the cornerstone, the sheirish of mitzvah tzedakah, is because ochichohu, every fellow Jew is your brother. And what person is not going to do chesed and tzedakah to his brother? And if you examine the parsha, in Parshas Re'eh, where it states the mitzvah's essay of tzedakah, it states there and it repeats there, ochicha, that open your hands to your brother. And the Rambam brings this in Perek Yud, the Matnas Aniyim. He says we are obligated to give tzedakah because they are our brothers, ochicha. Now this also is giving us the same principle, that because all of Israel are considered one, Mika Amcho Israel ge echod ba'oretz, who is like Israel, that's an Am Echod ba'oretz. What does it mean, Am Echod? The Achdus, the unity between Israel, is found only in Israel, not by other nations. By the nations, it doesn't state ochicho, they are brothers one to the other. This is found by Israel. And other nations are not necessarily held responsible one for the other. But this is found by Israel. And the Chazal Darshan, that why is Israel compared all the time to Tzon, Kifse Tzon, to sheep? So the Midrash brings, because the sheep have a teva, have a nature, that when they have an injury or a pain in one part of their body, nirgash kol gufay, their entire part of the body feels the pain. So is it with Klal Yisrael, that since they're echod and they're kiguf echod, they're like one. So when there's a pain in one part of the part of Israel, all of Israel feels this pain. And the so this would be the same. A person, if his leg hurts, now he can't tell his arms to ignore the pain, and the same thing vice versa. Therefore, this is the foundation of why we must do chesed and tzedakah to each other, and why we must carry a responsibility to see that the rest of Klal Yisrael walk in the proper path and do everything possible to guarantee this. This is contrary to many outlooks, because many times there are Jews that have the outlook that what we can do for ourselves we'll do, other Jews will write them off. Can't write Jews off. If a person is such a rosho where he's beyond help, that might be something else. Allah states even HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits for him to do tshuva. But we cannot write Jews off. The Malbim writes in Tanakh, the Maisa of Pilegish Begiva. There, what happened is from the Shevet Binyamin, they abused the Pilegish Begiva, the concubine, and they did terrible things to her, and she died from this. And the rest of the Shvatim, the tribes, were outraged, and they told Binyamin to punish the criminals, and Shevet Binyamin refused to. And the rest of the Shvatim were so outraged that they went up to war against Binyamin. And from here came even more shvichastomim, more spilling of blood. And this was a very, very low point in Klal Yisrael. So because of this, the rest of the tribes, they made a cherem. They excommunicated Shevet Binyamin, and they said that no one is allowed to give their daughters to anyone from Binyamin to marry. As time went on, Binyamin were not able to find enough shiduchim, and they were not able to get married, and the tribe was being halech v'nishmayet, it was diminishing. So they turned around. The rest of the Shvatim decided that they will annul the cherem, and they will allow Binyamin to marry into the other tribes. This was one of the charomim that they annulled on Chamisho Osor of the 15th of Av. This is one of the reasons the Gemara brings why the 15th of Av was such a great yantiv. The Malbim asks, what did they see that decided them, that made them decide to turn around, that they didn't see to begin with? She says their intent was never that Binyamin should die off, chas v'sholem. The intent was is that merely he shouldn't marry into the other tribes. When they saw, though, that Binyamin would die off, they knew that ein ashchina shere ela al kol yud beishvotim. If there's going to be shchina in Klal Yisrael, it's going to have to be all of Israel. Can't write off a whole chelek, a whole section of Klal Yisrael, and then expect the Shekhinah to come and be with the others. So they saw a danger to all of Yisrael. This is why they had to annul the chelem. But in what we're saying now, there's an additional chidush. When we speak of Tzedakah v'Chesed, we're speaking of helping others, begashmias, in the physical world. We have other such mitzvahs, Hashavas Avedo. You find something that belongs to your fellow man, you must take care of it, you must return it, Hatzolos Mamon Chaveray, try to do everything possible to save his money, Leisamer Al Damrei, Leisamer Al Damrei, you shall not stand idly by when your brother is in danger. So this is all at the physical realm. Here we see that even in the Bilti Gashmi, that even when it comes to the non-physical realm, we also are obligated to concern ourselves for our chaverim, for others. Mitzvahs and Torah. So this is a chidush. Actually, when we look into this, though, and we give some thought to it, the Chazal do not consider this as such a great chidush. To the contrary, they consider this as a davar poshut, as something which is very simple. This is a kal v'chomer, because in Parshas Ki Tsetse, which we learned not long ago, and there it states about the nations which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was merachek, he distanced from marrying into the central community of Israel. So Mitzrayim, he distanced for Ad Gimel Deiris, for three generations. Moav, he distanced Ad Yud Deiris, for 10 generations, which means La'olam, forever. Now, there were number of reasons by Moav. One was Al-Dvah, Shalekid, Mu'eskem, Belechem, Bamayim. This we spoke about, that they didn't come out to meet you with bread and water. But there was another reason also, that they went and hired Bilam to not only curse you, but to find an Eitzah, how to mislead you away from Hashem. And it was Bilam that brought the Eitzah, how to mislead the Klal Yisrael to do Avodah Zorah, idolatry. So the Kash is asked, question is asked, Moav physically didn't do anything to you, and they were distanced from Klal Yisrael for 10 generations, for forever. Mitzrayim killed your sons and were meshabed you, enslaved you for 400 years. So how much more so? Yet they were given a punishment of only three generations. So Rashi brings there, from here we see that Hamachti Eschavere, Yesem Yehorge Eschavere. Someone who misleads his friend away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Torah and Mitzvahs, this is worse than someone who tries or who kills his friend. Mitzrayim only wanted to kill you, while Moab and Bilam, they try to take you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because a horgai is ma'avid, ma'avdai ba'elam azeh, someone who kills you. He destroys you from this world, but you still have another world. But someone who takes you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you lose even the next world. And we have the same principle in the Mishnah in Perek Ele Metzias, where it says, Avedis Ovi va'Avedis Rabbi. If you find a lost article from your father and you find a lost article from your Rebbe, which one should you return first? Which one should you go after first? Which takes priority? Speaking if your father is not your Rebbe. So it states, Avedis Rabbi Kedem. You must give priority to the lost article of your Rebbe. One brought you into this world, and the other brings you. And this world is a world, it's a short world. The other brings you into the world to come, which is Yem Shikula Oruch. It's an everlasting world. So this chidush, in the eyes of Chazal, is not a chidush, but rather this is a kal vachema. Because of this, if we examine now Avraham Avinu, whom we said was the Amud HaOlam B'Chesed, he was the pillar of the world in Chesed. We see all types of Chesed that he did, like we've been speaking about. He did Chesed to the Malochim. He did Chesed to travelers. He built an Eishel, a hotel for people, for lodgers, and so forth. He tried to save the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. This, truthfully, was his small contribution. His greater contribution was the chesed he did in leading a world in the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah tells us that Abraham and Sarah risked their lives to teach Torah, to be Marbitz Torah, to spread Torah, to influence people in the right way. It states in the beginning of Lech Lecha, Es HaNefesh Asher Osu Bechoram, the people they made in Choram, the Targum says, the Shabidu Laraiso, that they brought to Torah. The Rambam writes, this Rambam we've quoted many times, but let us just quote one or two sentences from him. The Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. He says that through a series of errors during the first 20 generations of the world had totally forgotten about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said everyone, they didn't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu existed anymore. He says, with the exception of a few yechidim, of a few individuals. Kigain Hanoch, he lists five individuals. Hanoch, Misushelech, Nayach, Shem, Ve'ever. He says, outside of those individuals, perhaps a few more. He says, the world had forgotten that there was a creator in the world. They entirely went astray. And this one worshipped the sun, and this one worshipped the moon, this one worshipped fire, this one water, the sea, and so on. And this is how the world carried on for 20 generations, until it was born the pillar of the world. This was Avraham Avinu. Once this Eson, this giant, was weaned, and he was Emir al-Daita, he started to be able to think for himself, he was puzzled. He didn't want to accept the theory of evolution. He said, how can it be possible? He says, a world like this. He says, Hiskel lishaitet b'daita, v'kon v'hiskel lachshe b'yem v'layel v'yetameya. He was wondrous. How is it possible that the world should turn and nobody's turning it? Can't turn by itself. How is it possible that something can come to be and nobody created it? And he didn't have a teacher, and he didn't have anybody to tell him anything, and he was Mushka, he was in the depths of Ur Kasdim, that was Babel, Iraq, between the other idolaters, and his father and mother were also idolaters, and he also was serving with them. But he knew that this was not the truth. Until one day he came to a great enlightenment, that is a God of the universe. He created the world, Bor Hakol, and there's no one else that created the world, and he's Manig Hakol, and he runs the world, and there's no one else that runs the world, and he is the only one that it's befitting that you should serve. And then he came to the great enlightenment, Yoda Shukola Elam Toyim, that the whole world now had gone astray. They all were in error. And then he understood, he went back, like we've explained a number of times, like the Rambam writes, he went back, how did they come to that error, which we won't go into now. Now, what would you do in such a situation? If you were in such a situation, what would you do? You're in a world, the whole world's gone astray, but you know the emes, you know the truth. So the thing to do is, you carry on with the truth, you teach your children, and to blazes with the rest of the world. Nope, that's not what Avram did. Kiven shehikir biyodav, since he came to this recognition, and he came to this enlightenment, hiskil lahoshiv tshuvas al b'nei ur kasdim ul'arek dini mohem, he started to challenge the people above all of ur kasdim to debates. He brought them to task. He challenged them. And he said, you have gone astray. You are all in error. This whole ideology of yours, this whole theology of yours is made up of lies. It's all a pack of lies. Shatem Holkimbo, Vishiva Rapslomim, and he did more. He went and he started to break all the idols. He did more. He went to teach the people that it's not befitting to serve these idols. It's not befitting to bow to these idols. It's not befitting to bring sacrifices to these idols. And you should break all of these idols, he told them. And it's only befitting to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he taught them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And ultimately, he succeeded with his rayas, with his proofs. What happens once he succeeded with his proofs? Bikei Shamelech Lohorgei. The kings were losing power because they were serving the kings. So the king wanted to kill him. Miracle happened, and he went to Choron. He had to leave town, and he went to Choron. And there, he started to teach again. And Likrei Bekol Godol Lechol Ha'Elam, and to call out to the whole world. Uleidiyam Shiyeh Shom Eloikai Echol Lechol Ha'Elam V'Leiroi Lavet, and to teach again to the people, there's only one God, and this is what you. This is the one you should serve. And he would go. The Chazal tells us he and Sora. Sora would go to the women and he would go to the men. And he would call out and gather up students in every city, and in every kingdom, until he got to Eretz Canaan, Eretz Israel. And then he called out to Shem, as it states, for Yikra Shom B'Shem Hashem, kill Olam. V'kivin Shoyu Ha'am Miskapsin Elov V'Shein Lo'al Dvorov. And when people started to hear about him and they started to come to Abraham, Ha'am Ediyah L'chol Echad V'Echad Kvidaita, he would teach each one in accordance to the ability of each individual. Gemara brings in Yuma that Abraham was Maksiki Yeshiva, Yari Yeshiva. And he was a Rosh Yeshiva, and his assistant Rosh Yeshiva was Eliezer. Eliezer used to learn from Avraham and then teach also. And Medi lechol echol veechad kvidaitai at shiaksiruhu lederech ha'emes, until he would bring them back to the derech ha'emes. Now, how many followers do you think he made? The Rambam writes, until he had a following of thousands and tens of thousands. And these were called the house of Avraham. And he implanted in them this great foundation. The Chiba Beis Forim. And he wrote Sforim. V'yadiyah le'Yitzchok b'no, and then he taught Yitzchok all of this. And Yitzchak followed his ways and opened up a yeshiva and taught, and he gave everything over to Yaakov. And Yaakov became a Rosh Yeshiva, and he had his yeshivas and gave over everything to his sons. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him, as it states, Ki Yodativ, Ki Yitzave Es Bonav U'Beisei Achrov, that I know he will teach his sons afterwards, Lishmai Derech Hashem, to guard the way of Hashem, Las Yishroko Mishpat. Now look at all of the effort he put a lifetime into that. What happened to his forim, I don't know. That I've never seen. But he put a lifetime into it. He gathered, he said, by the thousands and the tens of thousands. This is the Nefesh Asher Osu Bechor. And he risked his life. Now they asked the question, why Abraham? There were other tzaddikim also. There was Odom HaRishon. Why not Odom HaRishon? The Rambam mentions Mesushelech, Chanoch, we know Noach, Noach is tzaddik, tomim hoye b'dei reisav. He was a righteous person, he was righteous enough to manage to save his whole family from the flood. He actually gave continuity to the world. Those Shem and Aver, we know that they had yeshivas. The fact is, Yitzchok went to learn in their yeshivas, and Yaakov went to learn in their yeshivas, the Chazal tell us. So why Abraham and not the others? And the answer that is given is because they all were capable of teaching themselves, of spreading Torah to themselves, maybe a few others. And therefore they saved themselves. Noach managed to save his family from the flood, but he didn't have the keach where he could save a world. But the Amud HaShel Olam became Abraham because Abraham went out to the world. He taught Torah to a world. It tells, they used to have an expression, I would imagine it wasn't a Tells expression, it was probably a Litvish expression. They used to have an expression, Sein nit kin tzaddik bepelz, don't be a tzaddik in pelz. So I once asked one of the Tellsers, what does it mean, tzaddik in pelz? Actually the Bochrim never knew what does it mean. So I asked him. It was Rameyah Zeligman, he should be well. If he, this man well into his 80s, he came over with the Tellsers, he learned in hotels, and he was a chief administrator in the yeshiva. So he says, a pelz means a fur coat. He says, there were tzaddikim that would upwarmen sich allein. The tzidkis would warm themselves up alone, like a person in a fur coat. You're wearing a fur coat, who gets warm from it? Not the other fellow, you. You say, Noach is given a tzaddik in pelz. You see. Noach had enough fire in him to warm himself up. So he managed to save himself and his family. And that's someone who's wearing a fur coat. Has enough warmth to warm himself up. Avram was not a tzaddik in pelz. Avram had enough fire in him to warm a world up. And that's why the world was saved by Abraham. So on someone that they would consider, they would call him Hazichnit. Right? He's only interested in himself, they would say, Zaynik in tzaddik in pelz. Don't be a tzaddik in pelz. This is what the Gemara in Sukkah brings. The Gemara says in Sukkah, in Perik Lulav Arova, it says v'teras chesed in the capital in the Mishle Eishes Chayil v'teras chesed al l'sheno. The Torah of chesed is on her tongue. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean, Torah Teras Chesed? The Torah of Chesed is on her tongue. That infers that there's a Torah that's not Chesed. Actually, the Gemara tells us at the end of the first parak in Seita, the Gemara says, Torah Chilose Chesed V'Sefer Chesed. In the beginning it's Chesed, because it starts by saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made clothing for Adam and Chava, and B'Sefer it's Chesed, because the Torah ends Vayikvar Asei Bagai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and buried Moshe Rabbeinu. See, so he was in the beginning he's Esek in Malbish Arumim, and in the end he's Esek in Kfuras Ameis, he's Amaisim of Chesed. L'lameid Eschem Shekula Chesed, to teach you that Torah is all Chesed. But here it says V'seiras Chesed al L'sheinai, Torah of Chesed is on her tongue. So this implies there's a Torah of Chesed and a Torah She'ene Shel Chesed. It's not of Chesed. So Gemara says V'chi Yesh Teire Shel Chesed V'teire She'ene Shel Chesed. Gemara says yes. Torah L'lamdo Zu Teire Chesed. Torah She'lei L'lamdo Zu Teire She'ene Shel Chesed. A person learns Torah to give it over to others. Now he's come to real Torah. That's the Teres Chesed. A person learns Torah for himself, and not to give over to others. That's not real Torah. That's Teres She'enishel Chesed. And that's just what we were saying. See, that's a tzaddik in belts. And that's why in the Memches Dvorim Sha'atera Niknes Behem in Masechta Ovis, it states that if you want to come to the Keser Shel Torah, you have to be Lilmeid Amanas L'lameid. It's not to be to learn and then to go teach. Your learning has to be conditional to share this Torah, to give this Torah to others. Now, this all is what we're speaking. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. That a Jew doesn't live for himself. He lives for the world. He lives for Klal Yisrael. And he has to assume responsibility in accordance to his ability. Because this is a very, very great principle. So we find, first from the Masechet Ovis. Masechet Ovis, it states, Perikei Mishnah Yudches. In some it's Mishnah Chof Aleph. Kol HaMazak Yasarabim Ein Chet Bo Al Yodai. One of the greatest mitzvahs that a person can do is bring mitzvahs to the rabbi. Because if you do mitzvahs yourself, that's one mitzvah. If you bring mitzvah to a rabbi, and let's say it's a rabbi of 10 people, that's 10 mitzvahs. Or 100 people, that's 100 mitzvahs. But it's even more, because we know, and this there's many illustrations of this. In general, when you're talking about rabbim, it's a different sphere. Therefore, kalamazakes harabim ein chet bo al yodai. You bring mitzvahs to the rabbim. You teach Torah to a rabbim. So that's such a mitzvah that'll be shame of you. That'll guard you. That a chet will not come to your hands. The converse, kol machti asarabim. Now we can see the converse. A person does a chet himself, he's done a chet. What happens if he leads astray a rabim? If he's machshel a rabim? And then, kol machti asarabim, ein maspikin biyode lasis tshuva. This is such a great aveira that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow him to do tshuva. It's not the halacha is that ein dover sheba'elam aymeres bifnei tshuva. There's nothing that will stand in the way of tshuva. But what it means is Kodesh Baruch Hu will make it very difficult in this case for the person to do tshuva. What is a classical example of the person who was mezakeh sarabim, Moshe Rabbeinu? Brings Meisha Zocha Vizika Sarabim. Meisha taught Torah to the whole world, to Klal Yisrael. Besides everything else he did. Therefore, Schus Sarabim Toliboy. the schus of the rabbim, Maishi gets. All of the mitzvahs that the rabbim does, they become accredited to Maishi also. Shnemat sitkas Hashem osa u'mishpotav im Yisrael. He did the sitkas Hashem and the mishpotim together to Yisrael. What's the classical example of someone who led astray a whole Klal Yisrael? That was Yerovam ben Nevot. Chota v'hichte asarabim. He was the one who built the bombers and the Avodah Zorah, and he got Klal Yisrael to serve Avodah Zorah continually. So Chet HaRabim told the boy, all of their Avodahs are accredited to him. Shneman al Chatesh Yerovam asher chota v'asher hechti es Yisrael. The Rambam brings this in Hilchis Tshuva. In the Hilchis Tshuva, the beginning of Perek Dalet. The Rambam brings Arba v'esrim vorim me'akvinas ha'tshuva. There are 24 types of avedas that prevent one from doing tshuva again. The Meforshim explain that nothing can stop a person from doing tshuva, but it means that it can become very, very difficult. And he breaks them up in different categories. Actually, this is an abraisa which is brought from a riff. So he breaks them up in different categories. So the first category is the most chomor, the most severe. Arba mehen oven godl. The first four, which is the first category, are very great averis. But eise echad mehen. And if you do even one of them, ein akodesh baruch hu masbik biyadalas es tshuva. If you do tshuva, it'll help. But akodesh baruch hu will make it very difficult for you to do tshuva. Lefi gedel chetai, because the chet is so great. And then he says what they are. What are they? So the first one he brings is a machti asarabim, someone who brings chet to the rabbim. You lead astray a rabbim. Ubechlal oven zeh hamaakev asarabim alasis mitzvah. And inclusive in this is someone who prevents a rabbim from doing mitzvah. So here we see a chidush, that not only when you lead astray a rabbim with an action, but even if you lead astray a rabbim with an inaction. In other words, not only when, like Yerovam ben Nevot, that went and influenced them to serve Avodah Zorah, but even if you prevent them from doing a mitzvah. You see, even with a Shev Al Tasa, that not where they did the action, but they were prevented from doing an action. It's an action of theirs that's also inclusive. That's the first. What's the second one? Hamates chaveru miderech tova lera, kegein mesis mediach. Now, not by a rabbim, but an individual. If you influence an individual, your friend, to go do an avera. This is a hamachti es chaveru. A third one. Now here again, when your mates chaveray, you went and actively influenced him to do an avera. Now we're going to speak about where you didn't actively influence anybody, but you're only shev al tasa. It's not what you did do, but it's what you didn't do. You see your son who he's going off the path. You see he's hanging around with the wrong crowd. You see he's coming home at all hours at night. You see he's smoking, and he's not smoking cigarettes, and so forth. And you say, look, he's a big boy now, he can make his own decisions. Or, I can't mix in because there's too much peer pressure. Because, he says, all his friends, they go to the same places, they smoke the same things, and they come home the same hours. so therefore I can't mix in. Sarei b'nei yetsi l'tabes ro v'einem amacha b'yodei ho'il b'nei b'shusai, since your son is under your influence. And ilu michobai ho'yepeirish, and it's speaking about a son that you have influence over, that if you put your foot down, he would listen. Hayaperish, and you didn't do it, so now because of what you didn't do, he went away. He went astray. V'nimtza kimachtiyai. U'bechlal oven zeh kol she'ef she'biyode limchais ba'achelim bein yochid bein rabim v'lei micha elyenichom b'kishleinom. And inclusive in this is not only your own son, but anyone that you could have influence over, if you would open your mouth, and you didn't open your mouth, you share in the guilt. So these are the first three. And this all has to do with Kol Yisrael Arevin Zelazeh, with Chesed. It would be the greatest antithesis of Chesed is to lead them astray, and the greatest chesed that you can do now would be all the contrary, to lead them to mitzvahs, or where you can stop someone from going astray and you don't. Rambam brings these as the first. These are the first three of his Chofta Ledvorim HaMa'akvin HaSatshuva, of the 24 things that one way or the other will prevent a person from doing tshuva, because God will chetoy, because the hate is so great. Now, one of the great mitzvahs involved in this subject that we're speaking about is Teichocha, which is rebuke. And that's what it states in the Torah, Hecheach Techiach Esamisecho, that you should rebuke your fellow man. But there's a strange thing in the Gemara. The Gemara in Erechin, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, says as follows, Omer Abtarfin, Tomei Ani, Im Yesh Bedor Hazem Mish Yochel Echiach. I am wondrous, this is what Abtarfin said, I am wondrous if there's anyone in our generation that is capable of rebuke, capable to rebuke others. And Elazar ben Azariah also says similar to that. So what do they mean by that? Amar b'tarfin, me ani, im yesh ben hazem mish yochel echiach. If there's anyone in our generation that's capable of giving rebuke, and the Blazer ben Azariah also said that. We're also hard about giving rebuke. You see someone doing something wrong, so you go and you tell him what he's doing is wrong. He doesn't listen, you tell him again. And you tell him what will happen to him, what kind of punishment he'll get, and so forth and so on. And if he doesn't listen, you raise your voice and shout at him. So what's so wrong? What's so difficult? Now, to begin with, one of the difficulties is the Gemara says, "Ksheit atzmecho tchila." Ksheit atzmecho means, well, to put it in modern language maybe would be, comb your own hair first before you tell me my hair needs combing. You see? Ksheit atzmecho tchila. For a person to give rebuke, he naturally has to be a tzaddik. Otherwise the other person is going to turn around and say, you're telling me to do this, well, why don't you do that? Why don't you take care of yourself? I know that you're this and this. Okay, so he has to be on a good madrego. But after that, There are two reasons. Firstly, immediately after that it states, that you should rebuke your fellow man, it states, for leisisol of chait, do not do an aveira. Now what does one thing have to do with the other? So the Chazal tell us, they warn us, that when you rebuke your fellow man, you have to do it in a way in which an aveira will not come from it. That means in a way which you will not shame him, in a way which you will not embarrass him, in a way which you will not make him feel personally bad. Now, from this we see, and we'll see it even more later, that rebuke is not merely a mitzvah, but it's an art. It's from the finest arts. Because when you tell a person what he's doing wrong, we're not talking if it's barabim. There the Gemara says it's also to do it barabim in most cases. Most cases. Sometimes it's permissible, but in most cases it's also to do barabim because you're mavayish in barabim. You publicly embarrass him, but even where it's not in public, from the fact that you make him feel bad, from the fact that he becomes embarrassed, that's leisisol of chait. So how are you going to tell him he's doing something wrong and not make him feel bad? How are you going to tell him he's doing something wrong and he should walk away feeling good about it? Well, not so easy. In other words, it's not only a mitzvah, it's an art. And that's one reason why Reb Tarfon said to me, Amniya, I don't know if there's anybody who's really capable in our generation, speaking his generation yet, to give rebuke. Then secondly, there's another reason why to give rebuke is so difficult. Because the purpose of giving rebuke to others is not for my sake, not for your sake. In other words, it's not a mitzvah like you eat matzah on Pesach, you do that for your sake. You're eating matzah to fulfill your mitzvah. You put a mezuzah on your house, or you put tefillin on, you do that for your mitzvah. Rebuke you're not doing for your mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for the shalter. Now that I shouted at him, I fulfilled my mitzvah. Now, rebuke, the purpose of the rebuke is that he should listen to it. He should hear it and change his ways. That's the mitzvah of rebuke. That he should hear what you're saying and change his ways. Now, if through my rebuke he doesn't listen to what I'm saying and he doesn't change his ways, so what have I fulfilled? I fulfilled the mitzvah. What was the mitzvah? That I heard myself talk, that I heard myself shout. At least I put on tefillin, I fulfilled the mitzvah, putting on tefillin no matter what you thought. See? But over here, if I give someone rebuke and it goes in one ear and out the other, so what mitzvah did I fulfill? Nothing. And not only that, I might have fulfilled averus also. That's why the Gemara says, Kishem shemitzvah leimar dover shesefer lishma, kein mitzvah shelei leimar dover she'ena nishma. That just like it's a mitzvah to rebuke someone that you know he will listen to you and will be effective, so is it a mitzvah to keep your mouth closed, not to rebuke someone where you know he will not listen. So now the Tarfim is saying something else. Also, how certain can we be, we want to correct someone in his ways, that he is going to listen to us? That will be the mitzvah by Cheyach Techiach Hesamisecho. What happens if not only he doesn't listen to me, but it makes him more angry and more bedafkinik than before, which happens many times? And because of that, he'll go on his ways even more. There's a case where not only I didn't achieve anything with my rebuke, but I did an avera with my rebuke. Because had I kept quiet, he would have been better off to begin with. You tell your son he can't go to that place. Now he says, Bedafka, I'm going. Before he was thinking maybe he would stop going. See? What happens if you tell a person that he's not doing this mitzvah properly, and he becomes angry, and he starts to criticize you, and saying, oh, you're the grace of tzaddik, and you do mitzvahs properly? Or he starts to laugh at, now he's doing an Aveira. But that Aveira is your Aveira, because you caused him. Comes out with your rebuke, you just did Averas. This all goes into V'leisis Olav Chet. Now how do I know to say all of these things? Because most of these things that I mentioned is in the Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim writes in the Shara Hasidus, in Perek Mishkola Hasidus. He writes, for example, see, he's speaking on Hasidus. And Hasidus is, he says, you have to know where to do it and where not to do it. Because when it comes to Hasidus, that's where you're doing more than the Torah required you always to do. A hider, or like a hayach techiach, he says many times the Hasidus is not to do it. He says you must always look not at what the situation is now, but what the long-term ramifications are. So we've gone into this before, but it's a long perek. We'll just make two examples here. Mention two examples. He says, "Hine ateret tzivsa hechiach techiach hasamisecho." He says the Torah said that you should rebuke your fellow man. But many times when you rebuke your fellow man, ain't varv nishmoim, they won't listen to you. Begerim lehem lisporet yeser berishom. And not only they won't listen, but this will cause them to even do more averus. Like we said, it'll cause them to be a bedatkinik. Ula halel Hashem ula hesiv al chatos em pesha. And it'll come to a greater chil Hashem and a greater pesha. There the chassidus is not to be to give rebuke. There the chassidus is shtiko, to be silent. And this is what a chazal said in Yevamos Samachay, kishem shemitzvah leima dover hanishma, kach mitzvah shelei leimar es she'ena nishma. That just like it's a mitzvah, that if you know someone will listen to you, it's a mitzvah to tell him. If you don't know if somebody's going to listen to you, then it's a mitzvah not to tell him, but to be sheisek. And that's the chassidus. Takes another example. This is not in regards to rebuke, but we can learn from there. He says, what happens if a person wants to fulfill a mitzvah with all of its hidurim? So in other words, he wants to go mitzvah min hamuvchar to fulfill it in the best possible way. So he says, b'tzina, if he's alone, all right. But if he's doing eze teisves chassidus, lifnei hamayin, before people, before the populace, what happens if yishaku alav yisleitzesu, they will laugh at you and they will make letzonus. Nimtzu chaitim, so it comes out now, they are doing chatoim. But nenoshim al yodoi, but you are causing them to do the chait and to get the einish. And that's an aveir in itself. V'hu haye yochel laniach malasei sadvorim ahem. And he could have not done this to begin with. Because this is not a chayv. So therefore, here for a chosid, someone who's Asik in chassidus, we're talking a chosid means someone who was a very, very great individual. He would choose not to do it, than rather to do it. And why the Novi said, v'atzne'aloch lechasim elakecho. You want to walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the highest possible Madrega, that's Bitsina. that's when nobody sees you. But when you're in front of the populace, you have to be very, very careful of what the ramifications can be. V'kama chasidim gedelim hinichu miminhage chasidus b'yesen bein hameino om. There were many, many great chasidim, he says, that would leave their minhagim, their customs, when they were in public. Mishum demekse ki yohore, because it would look like they're being arrogant and holding themselves above the public. And then it would cause also the public to talk about them and mislates it, so they're causing the public to do averas. At any rate, the rest is very good, but it's going into the general chasidus. We're speaking here of echeach techiach. So now we understand why Reb Tarfon said it's not so easy to give rebuke, because you have to take all of this into consideration. We do have, though, or we did have, and we do have, individuals that were capable of giving rebuke. For example, the Chazal tell us that a great individual who was very, very wonderful when it came to giving rebuke was Aaron HaKohen. In Ovis Reb Nosson, this parak of Ovis, Mr. Ovis, says, Al tiskabel rosho, that you shouldn't make haverus with a rosho. It says, when Aaron used to see a rosho on one side of the street, and many people, if they would be walking in the street and they'd see a rosho, they'd cross over the street. Aaron, just the opposite. When he would see a rosho across the street from him, he would want to rebuke him. How would he do it? He would cross the street and go over and give him shalom. That person would come home and tell his wife, Aaron HaKohen came to me and gave me shalom aleichem. And he was even on the other side of the street. And then the Ovis Reb Nosson says, when it came for this person to do an Aveira, he said, how can I do an Aveira? I'm such an individual that Aaron HaKohen comes to give shalom, and now I'm going to do Aveira. And that was an influence on him that he shouldn't do an Aveira. The Mefarshim ask, how could he give him shalom? States you're not allowed to give shalom to a Rosha. Well, that Aaron HaKohen figured out a way. There's a time also to look for kulas. And it says that since he knew it was l'shem shemayim, he says now's the time to be mekel. Have another illustration of someone that knew how to give rebuke that the Gemara tells us, and this is Lanosi. In the Gemara, in the third perek of Shabbos, Masechta Perek Bamei Madlikim, we've gone through it. We don't have time now. There's a whole daf of Gemara. The two people made a bet, a wager, if they could get Hillel angry. So they waited till Erev Shabbos, and Hillel was bathing, and they came and they shouted, "Is Hillel here? Yesh kan Hillel, yesh kan Hillel." So he went and he came out of the bath and he put on his robe, but he comes out. What do you want? And they said, we have some important questions. So he says, ask. So they asked him all kind of stupid questions. And he calmly answered each one. He said, they were very good questions. Then he went back and they came again. And they asked again stupid questions. And again he came out and answered them. And then, but he wouldn't get angry. And that was an enormous influence over them. Then the Gemara brings that someone came, a non-Jew, and he says, I want to be Megayer, but on the condition that you can teach me the entire Torah on one foot. So Hillel said, good, I'll teach you the entire Torah on one foot. So he said, the entire Torah is what you don't want people to do to yourself, don't do to others. The rest is just commentary. And slowly he was Megayer him. Then another case, someone came, a ger, wanted to be a ger. And he said, be Megayer me, but I only believe in Teresh B'Ksav, in the written Torah. So not in the Teresh B'Al Peh. Hillel said, all right, come to the base of Medrash, tomorrow and I'll teach you.
And slowly, we won't go into details now, but he was Magayram, he became a Ger Tzedek. Then a third Ger came. And he said, teach me, I want to be Magayram, but on the condition that I will become a Kain Godel. A Ger can't become a Kain Godel. Even Yisrael can't become a Kain Godel. Hillel dealt with him. And they also came to Shammai, and Shammai drove them out. Shammai rebuked them and drove them out. The three came together, and they said that in Vesanusai shel Hillel, the humility of Hillel brought us tachas kanfei Ashkina. The kabdonis shel Shammai almost drove us away. This was a person that knew how to give rebuke. Tosfos asked the kasha, how could he be mekabel them? The Gemara says that if a person comes to be Magaya shalei l'shem shemayim, but he has some ulterior motive, the Gemara says, he comes because he wants to marry that Jewish woman, or he wants to be this, he wants to be that, you're not allowed to be mekabel. Hillel found the cooler. Found the cooler, Tosfos says. He saw it safe that he could be Magaya them l'shem shemayim, so we will bend the rules a bit here. That's what Hillel did. We have other such great people like that. There was a great rebuker in our past generation, and this was the Chofetz Chaim Zichrein Lerocha. Chofetz Chaim was like a father to the generation. He wrote so many kuntresim besides his famous Mishnah Berurah. In his famous Sefer on Rosh Hashanah, he wrote so many kuntresim, so many articles and papers and whatnot. We can't even count them all. And letters, whatever he saw was wrong with the generation, he wrote. He wrote that. But whatever he wrote, nobody became upset with. He could write it in a way where people would listen to him. Nobody would become upset. And they would want to do what he asked them to do. There are many, many stories, but I'll cite one. And to show you how Teichocha is an art, it might be a long lost art. He was sitting in an inn. He traveled a lot. So he was sitting in an inn, and he was eating. And the Jewish owner was preparing meals, and his daughter, the Jewish owner's daughter, was serving the meals. And at another table was a Jew, but a very, very coarse, low-class Jew. And he was dressed very, very rough, and he spoke very roughly. And he spoke very roughly to the Jewish girl. He kept saying, what's taking so long, and this and that, and he was shouting and so forth and so on, and his foul language and so on. The Chofetz Chaim was becoming very upset with this. So he asked the Jewish owner, who is this guy? So he says, look, he says, Nebuch, he says, he's just what you see. He's a pair of them. He says, what's his background? He says he was taken as a young kid. Those days, many Jews left Europe because of that. The Tsar's army would take young Jews at 5 or 10 years old, and they'd keep him in the army for 20 years or 25 years. So he was taken as a young Jew into the Tsar's army. He grew up in a Russian army with Russian soldiers. He learned their ways. He hardly knew he was Jewish. And he was 20 years or so in the army. So the Chofetz Chaim says, I want to speak to him. So the innkeeper was very afraid. He says, no, I can't let you speak to him. He was afraid that, who knows, he could start cursing the Chofetz Chaim and whatnot. He says, no, insist, I want to speak with him. All right, you insist. So he went over to him and he said, it's a great rabbi there, he'd like to talk to you. Would you go over to his table? All right. Comes over to his table. What does the rabbi want with me? Chofetz Chaim tells him, he says, you know, he says, I have a great amount of admiration for you. So he says, admiration for me? He says, yeah. He says, why? He says, because I understand that you were taken away as a young boy and you spent 20 years, 25 years in the Tzaddik Army. And you still consider yourself Jewish. He says, if I was taken away at the age of 5 and put into the Tsar's army for 20, 25 years, he says, I don't know if I would be able to still consider myself Jewish. I probably would be a Russian by now. And the fact that you still hold on to your Jewishness and you have not given it up, he says, that I must admire you for. And the person was overwhelmed because nobody ever spoke to him like that, certainly not a rabbi. And from there they got into a conversation, and from there he became a friend with the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim made a person of a shema teira mitzvahs from him. This is the art of rebuke. If you look in the psukim, there's a posuk. The posuk states by Achayach Techiach, it says lesisne esochicho bilvavecho, and the next posuk states Achayach Techiach esamisecho. Now, the smichus, the closeness of the psukim, are very good. It says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, and you shall rebuke him. This means that when you rebuke your brother, it cannot come from sina. It cannot come from where you are angry or hatred from him. I just saw in a sefer, but I looked for it again, I couldn't find where. This is in a sefer from Rabbi Yosef David Epstein Shlita, who writes, we have his forum in Mitzvah Ha'etzo, where he quotes a medrash that the medrash says, I believe the medrash said this, I looked for it again but I couldn't find it. It says, "Kol ava shein beitechecha ena ava." Any love that does not have rebuke in it is not love. There are many parents that shower love on their children, which is wonderful, but they'll never rebuke their children. Now, an ava that doesn't have rebuke in it is not ava. V'chol teichecha she'ein by ava is lav teichecha. And any rebuke that doesn't have love in it is not a rebuke. You see. So this is what we're speaking about. I wanted to go further, but I'm afraid at this point time will not allow us, so we'll have to stop here.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.